We're back, and Tony, thanks for joining us. We're bringing in Leah for the Spilling the Mentee. Leah is a graduate of the University of Miami, as we
Good
all
games,
are.
Yeah.
And Leah was a cheerleader. And Leah, I wanted to start with you and talk about what it meant to be an athlete and how that may have affected your interviewing process or why you were hired. Did you connect with any interviewers? Tell us how that might have helped.
Well, it's great to be here with everybody. I had been an athlete my whole life, so 4 years old and on. And being an athlete in college really set up my work ethic for the real world and a corporate job. It really taught me how to interact with people, lead people. I was the captain of the cheer team, so that really taught me so many things about working with people and having them learn from you. So that was great. And then throughout the interview process, it also helped me connect with people. You're meeting so many different people as an athlete, whether it's fans or other athletes, and being able to connect with the person that you're speaking to as a stranger, always very helpful.
So do you think that was a unique value proposition that you brought to the interview process so that people would remember you?
Definitely. It's very interesting to have someone say, oh, well, I've gone to all of these different schools and seen all of these different people and met all different kinds of people throughout my time as a cheerleader, that it really was that extra thing that someone was like, wow, I haven't seen that before.
So how did you leverage it, and what are you doing now? Tell us your journey a little bit, and then we'll probe on that a little.
Yeah, so definitely the work ethic, I think, was a big thing that I took into working with me. Practices were all day, every day, and then games on the weekends. So that really helped me learn how to work efficiently and get things done and, kind of work as a team with others. But now I'm working at PricewaterhouseCoopers as a senior associate in audit, so seeing a lot of interesting things like that.
Mm-hmm. Were you in? I assume you were an accounting major, or I know you're an accounting major, but tell the listeners.
I was an accounting major and a finance minor at the University of Miami, and I also did an accelerated master's program for a master's in accountancy at the University of Miami.
Yeah. So the obvious question, when did you figure out, if you figured out, that was going to be your stated career path?
So that's an interesting one. Yeah. I'm from a family of accountants. My grandfather is an accountant, my mother, my uncle. So it was kind of something that I always knew. And then in high school, we had these accounting classes that were college level courses. So I was like, I'll try it out, and if I don't like it, I just will stop.
Right.
And I never got to that point, so I just kept going. And then when I was applying for school, I was so good at the accounting classes that I was like, let me just see if I can keep going with this and what it turns into. And by the end of my 4.5 years, I graduated with my CPA. I had a master's in accounting, and here I am.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I don't know how many individuals, and we'll find out, Tony, we want to check with you on this as well, are able to focus on something, stay with it early in career, and continue to enjoy it, right?
Right.
Now, Tony, you could reiterate, your journey is a little bit different because in between you went to graduate school. But remind us your process and your journey as well. And what drove it?
Sure. So when I was back at University of Miami, I think I started at school as an international relations major. My dad and his 3 older brothers all went in as history majors, international relations, when they were in undergrad. And I saw them move on to have really successful careers in business. So I felt like that was something that might give me a good foundation. But as I arrived at University of Miami and started getting into the coursework, I realized that I wanted something that would allow me to really try out some of the things that I was interested in exploring postgraduate. And I started to shift away from those international relations courses and into some advertising within the communication school and marketing within the business school. And I found that for me, those classes and that path really seemed to marry a lot of the things I loved. I really enjoyed that there was a creative and strategic aspect as well as an analytical piece. And so I found myself on more of a marketing path, and that's where I landed post-undergrad. And then I think after applying what I learned in school through internships, through my first job, I really dove into that, found out the aspects of marketing that I liked and that I didn't like, and I knew there was a point at which I might want to go back to school. And for me, I think I found that time, and going back to school really allowed me to then focus even further and say, okay, I've picked up all these great things along the way. How can business school help me really further define that path? And I found that within marketing, I really like strategic partnerships. And that was something that I had kind of pursued or looked for in post-MBA opportunities. And so now I work on a partner management adjacent team at Citi. And so I think that kind of with each step along the way, each year, I kind of picked up more things that allowed me to really refine and focus. It's so hard to know going into college exactly what you want to do, and, you know, difficult to figure out how you want to navigate from there.
So how did you use relationships and mentors to help you figure those things out? And before you answer that, we talked about this, but you both had multiple opportunities going into your current jobs. So let's touch on that, but first the mentor question.
Sure. I think mentorship is really interesting because I used to have this opinion that a mentor was like one person that you have and like that is your mentor and that's it. And I think mentors can take many shapes and forms. It can be somebody within your family. It can be a friend or a peer. A mentor doesn't have to be somebody who's older than you or superior to you in your career. They can mentor you in a single conversation. It can be multiple conversations. So I think for me, I leaned into some of my family relationships. I have a few family members who went to business school and found themselves in that seat of having a few different job opportunities. I talked to them about what they did in that specific trajectory. I talked to peers of mine, people in the class above me at school. And then, you know, I talked to other leaders from my previous company before business school, leaders who I had interacted with during my summer internship, people just within the community who I met, both of you at different points related to career and things outside of career. So I think like anyone in your network can become a mentor in some capacity for you. And it's just leaning into where you think you maybe share values or opinions with somebody and kind of figuring out, okay, we seem to be on the same page about this, or we share this experience. Let me figure out what they did when they were in my shoes or how they might think about this. And I think it's not just one conversation. It was multiple that then led me to make the decision that I felt was right for me at the time.
So Leah, you have an interesting story. You both are mentioning family a lot, but you went to Miami during COVID and you had the opportunity to have an internship, but that was taken away from you. So talk to us about that. And did you utilize mentors or networking? How did you get back to New York when really the city was closed down? You couldn't interview, you couldn't really attend any networking events. What'd you do?
Yeah, so my internship ended up being 2 weeks all online. I had a few people from the firm that they put me in contact with. So I ended up using those people. I think one was a director at the time. One was more of a new hire who had just started with the firm. And they really helped me understand what my day-to-day would look like. I ended up connecting with the director on LinkedIn and kind of had followed him through the rest of my senior year. So that was super helpful. And then, of course, similar to Tony, my family really mentoring me on what the next step should look like, kind of give me a sense of what I was missing so I could think about that and what I could use from there to move forward.
And you didn't really have a career center as a resource center because you couldn't go in there.
Right.
So how did you prepare for your interviews?
Right. So I had connected with the recruiters from PwC that were mapped to the University of Miami, mm-hmm. and I connected with them on LinkedIn, some calls here and there, and they were able to prepare me for what the interviews would look like, what I should be talking about and touching on.
And you had job offers from 3 major public accounting firms. How did you choose?
Yeah, so actually, you were very helpful in this. You opened up your network so I could talk to different partners from either KPMG or Deloitte or different associates who were working there at the time. Even a partner from PwC, I was able to connect with through Jerry, and they were really helpful on what the offices are like and what the cultures are like and what I should be expecting in my day-to-day, and that was a big factor in my decision.
A lot of support there. Yes. Tony, you told us in the previous episode, it was Vanderbilt where you went for your MBA, but you made it very clear you're not a finance person, right? You told me that. And you ended up at Citi. And, you know, did the experience, and we'll come back to some of that that you shared, at the MBA school, at Owen, I guess, at Vanderbilt, manage you? Did it influence you in a certain way that caused you to think, because you had some work experience before?
Yeah, in terms of what industry I selected. So before I went to business school, I was actually very interested in working for American Express. Mm. I had seen them put up this big brand new office in Sunrise near where my parents are, and I had connected with a few people who had nothing but wonderful things to say. And so I always joke that I went to business school to get a job at American Express. And I did get that job. I interned there between my first and second year, and I had a wonderful experience. I think for me, as I went into my second year, having that job offer in hand, having had a great experience, I was really excited at the prospect of returning, and not only to Amex, but coming to New York City to work. But I also felt like I went to business school to set myself up for success post-MBA and find the most competitive offer and the best new base, let's call it, for myself. And I decided that I was going to do a very targeted approach to recruiting my second year to see what else was out there. And so that's where I was introduced to you, Bill, actually, to speak about Citi. And I applied for their Leadership Associate Program, which is a rotational program. American Express does have some rotational programs, but not in the field that I was interested in. So this was kind of unique. And I knew that a rotational program was only something I could do coming out of school, and I was not planning to go back to school for a third time, so this felt like the time. And so it was a very difficult decision, as I've just expressed. You know, I was really excited about the opportunity that I did have, but Citi had a few things that made me feel compelled to try something new for my post-MBA experience, and, you know, that was part of what went into that decision. So I think business school really gave me a lot of the tools to evaluate some of like the financial piece in terms of comparing the two offers. It gave me a lot of new contacts and people who had been in my shoes who I could speak to about the decision that I was making, and then all of the other wonderful people who I talked to and mentioned before. So I think it was a combination of some of the hard skills I picked up in business school, as well as the people it introduced me to, that really allowed me to figure out that I wanted to give Citi a go after school.
Yeah. What strikes me about you, knowing you as I do, you are, I think, planful and intentional in your thought process, which is a great skill. Not everybody is that, right? You are that, because I've gotten to know you now, and for you it's paid dividends, right? I'd like to make just a pivot, because one of the target audiences for these podcasts, Bill and Jerry's excellent podcast, aka Spilling the Career Tea, as we know, is what happens when you enter the workplace, right? So much of what we've talked about is to get there. You guys are there now. So I'm going to start with you, Leah. What is some of the, without distilling any confidentialities at PwC, any surprises? What's the environment? You've been there now, what?
Almost three.
Same
and a half.
For you, right?
Two years,
right? Talk to me.
I think the biggest surprise that I've learned, starting with the interview process and throughout the last 3.5 years, is that people want to work with people that make them feel good, that are kind, that are nice, And the work is the work. It's going to be the same anywhere. It's really about the people that you're surrounded by. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. And that has surprised me more than I thought it would.
Both good and bad, or what? Yeah, you could say not everybody's a gem, right?
Not everybody's a gem. I would say 90% are gems. Okay. I've worked with a few people that I've had some differences in opinions.
Sure.
Which, you know, is a natural thing. But learning how to work through those and move forward in a better way mm-hmm. has also really taught me a lot throughout the last few
years. So drill down on the people. Is that part of why you made the decision to go with PwC?
Yes, definitely. So like you had mentioned before, I had three offers. Mm-hmm. And for each firm that I had an offer from, they did like a day at the office where you could go in, meet the people you might be working sure. with, the people in your group, the other people that will potentially be working there. And I felt the most comfortable yeah. at PwC yeah. and the most like-minded people were there.
Huge. Culture, values, yeah. huge, right? How about you, Tony? I mean, you've made your decision. You've described for us, right? MX to Citi after post-grad. What are you finding in any surprise at Citi in the workplace, just in the dynamic of manager team interaction comfort?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you with what you're saying about people. And that was something that the rotational program aspect of the role I took with Citi really allowed me to dive into, because you're placed on a team, you have your manager, but you also know that you have that manager and that team for, it was 8 months at the time, now it's a year. And I think having that, I guess, knowing that it's only for a shorter amount of time, that it's not your sort of forever job until the next move, really allowed me to meet a lot of great people within the team that I was on, but also have kind of one foot out the door to be thinking about, well, what is my next rotation gonna look like? Where do I see myself mm-hmm. after this? Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard to juggle that thought of how can I be successful and contribute in the team that I am now, but also look out for yourself and consider, well, where might I be in 2 years, in 5 years? And so to have to think about both was something that I would say was a little newer for me, not brand new, but something I've had to get more and more comfortable with. And so I think the rotational program really allows you to do that. And I found in my second rotation that I just really had a great connection with my manager, really enjoyed the other people I was working with. And it's funny, I had a conversation early on with my boss where I told him some of my goals, and they were not necessarily to stay on that team, but I had such an exceptional experience that when he came to me and said there was an opening, he was like, I know you didn't express that you wanted to definitely stay, you're interested in these other things. And I said, nope, I would like yeah. to stay here, because it's that people aspect of like wanting to work with the people who motivate you, who you enjoy, makes a big difference.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with both of you. And I run a little part-time career coaching business to that those very points, right? I often get asked, I'm about to start my rotation and I have a choice. Should I go with the best technical knowledge and learning I'm gonna get? Or should I do some due diligence on the effectiveness of the manager, she or he, and the team dynamics? And I think what you guys have said, focus on those team and team dynamics and the manager, especially early in career, right? Would you agree? Not everybody knows how to develop an early career professional.
Yeah. I remember after I interviewed with PwC, and the partner called me to tell me that I got the job. She yeah. said, you were just so bubbly and happy and kind. Like, how could I not give you the job?
Ah.
And I was like, okay.
Done.
Give it to me then.
Right. But you know, and I don't want to probe to any, no names, obviously. Not everybody is like that. Not everybody knows how to. You're both in very strong culture companies, right? Classic brands in accounting, in finance, right? But not everybody is schooled to be that person that knows how to develop a young person, right? And so I think you've said it, doing the due diligence there pays dividends when you're starting your career. You agree?
Definitely. And I think what makes a good manager can shift. You know, it's what might be a good manager for me might look different for you depending on how you like to work and depending on what stage you're at in your career. I think early on I had a couple of managers who were really detail-oriented, really instilled a lot of good foundational, just general workplace skills, everything from how to write a concise email to just general etiquette in meetings. And I think I really needed that hand-holding early on. Now I really like that my manager is a little more hands-off. He really trusts me and empowers me to do, you know, my job well. And I think that, you know, it's great now in my career, having had the experience I had before business school, the time in business school, to be given that flexibility in my job and given that trust. And I think, not that I didn't deserve it right out of college, but I almost feel like I had to earn it even being at two different companies.
Yeah.
Well, you're being mentored in some ways still, right?
Of course.
So that's my question. You've been mentored, you're in your roles, you're probably both being mentored a little bit still, managed, mentored, how we've discussed that. What are you doing, if anything, to give back? Are you involved in any mentorship as a mentor at your prospective companies?
So I've actually connected with a few University of Miami students that are still there, asking if I would take the time to kind of go over my experience and my path. And, you know, my first response is always, of course, call me whenever. So I've been talking to a few students like that, which is great. I think it's great for them to hear it from someone who's was in the exact same shoes as them. And then also at PwC, we've just had our intern start. So I'm a peer mentor to a handful of them, kind of setting them up for success for their internship, what their expectations should be, what's expected of them on their client teams, and kind of just the firm culture and what it's going on.
You're paying it forward, right? Tony, I know you do the same, right? And given the network that we enjoy between City and our alma mater, right? We all happen to be Canes, right? And you do the same because it worked for you, right? It's important.
Absolutely. While I was in the rotational program, we had a leadership council that was responsible for putting on different types of programming like fireside chats or mentorship pairing. And so I served on that council to try to help steer the direction of the program. Now that I'm not in the program and I'm in a full-time seat, I kind of have moved away from some of that within City, but I've been active on the alumni board for New York for University of Miami, as you both know. And I also connect regularly with Vanderbilt MBA and undergrad alums. So I similarly really enjoy those one-on-one touch points where you're able to really make a difference and tailor what you're saying to what that person may need to hear at the time.
And you were telling me that people reach out to you through the Vanderbilt and Miami PeopleGrove platforms.
Yes. I recently created my Vanderbilt PeopleGrove profile, and it took a little while to get some traction, but it's been really nice to see some messages come through, and it's exciting to give back in that way. I know sometimes LinkedIn can create friction in terms of the number of messages you can send, so this is a great way for people to reach me as well as LinkedIn.
Having said that, I'm sure the cheerleader, ex-cheerleader, and Kate, your real passion is still with the U, right? No disrespect to that. You don't have to answer that. All right, we got to wrap this thing because we're... So where can people see this wonderful episode?
So you can look at all of our episodes on YouTube, Bill and Jerry's Excellent Podcast, a.k.a. Spilling the Career Tea. We have a website, spillingthecareertea.com. We have Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, most of the major social media platforms. You can hear us wherever you hear podcasts. So Spotify, Apple, I don't know, where else do you listen to podcasts? You only need one service to listen, right?
Yeah, and as I said earlier, we don't necessarily need to be famous, but we can use a few more followers.
Yeah,
right? Because we're just getting
started. Bill wants to see those numbers go up, so, you know, at least you guys follow it.
Yeah,
definitely.
No, Leah, thank you for spending the time here, and Tony for the segments. This is awesome, and providing some wisdom, right, to people who are now, you know, in your very situations just a few short years ago. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Go Canes.
Go Canes.
Go Canes. Sure. Go Canes. Yeah.
Join us next time. We drop our episodes on the 1st and the 15th of each month, and we'll be back.